Turn with me to chapter 4, the book of Daniel. And as you're headed that way, I want to give you just a little bit of context, because this particular chapter takes a little bit of a different angle than simply the rewriting of what has happened, as Daniel has been doing as he has written us in the first three chapters. Chapter 4 is actually a letter written by Nebuchadnezzar to a group of people. You will see that as we open the letter and begin reading it. But here in this letter, Nebuchadnezzar recounts, tells about his experiences in his battle, if you will, with God. And you will hear in the language how he comes to grips with who God, Jehovah, God Almighty, God of the universe of all creation. This letter accounts, tells the story of how he comes to grips with and understands fully and completely that just as the anthem has sung, that his life is totally in his hands, in God's hands. Which, if you will remember from the first three chapters that we will just summarize here briefly, that's not been the case. In the first three chapters, we hear of Daniel's, or we read of Daniel's writings of his early time in captivity and him coming into a relationship with Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego standing on their convictions, standing on their principles. Whenever Nebuchadnezzar would want them to worship the 90-foot statue, they would say no. When he would want Daniel to bow down to the music or bow down at a particular time and worship and honor him, Daniel would say no. And so in these first three chapters, we see through the reading the influence Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego are having on Nebuchadnezzar, and that certainly is through the will of God, and how that influence comes to fruition, comes to bear, and bears fruit in chapter 4. So here, listen to the letter Nebuchadnezzar has written that we know of as chapter 4 of the book of Daniel. It starts out, King Nebuchadnezzar, to the peoples, nations, men of every language who live in all the world, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are His signs, how mighty His wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in my bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream. But they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar, after the name of my God. And the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree. In the middle of the land, its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in my bed, I looked, and there before me was a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches, but let the stump and its roots bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal, till seven times pass by for him. The decision is announced by the messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict so that the living may know that the Most High is the sovereign over all the, over the kingdoms of men, and gives them to anyone he wishes, and sets over them the lowliest of men. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me, but you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belteshazzar answered, My lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the beasts of the field, and having nesting places in its branches for the birds of the air. You, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to the distant parts of the earth. You, O king, saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump, bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field while its root remains in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live like the wild animals until seven times pass by him. This is the interpretation. O king, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my Lord, the King. You will be driven away from people and will live like the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is the sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its root means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be then that your prosperity will continue. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar 12 months later. As the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power for the glory of my majesty? The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken away from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is the sovereign of the kingdoms of men and gives them anyone he wishes. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from the people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until the hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claw of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, What have you done? At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. A long reading, but so full of relationship language between God and His people. The letter starts out, you might think that Nebuchadnezzar has seen the light. As the letter starts out, he writes to all the nations and the men, and he says that how great are the signs of the Most High, how mighty is His wonders. You'd think, all right, Nebuchadnezzar's finally got it. Nebuchadnezzar has finally understood what Daniel and Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego have been trying to tell him. He's finally got the message. How many of you have been in conversation with people? You've prayed for them. You've witnessed to them. And they come around and you say, you know, I understand a bit of this. I understand God. And they talk a good language. But in just a couple of weeks, or in just a couple of days, you see them and you wonder what happened. There is a change in Nebuchadnezzar, because in the opening of this letter, he does acknowledge the Most High God. But please notice a slight nuance in his language as he starts out. He says in verse 3, or verse 2, "It's my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders of the Most High God." Listen to what he calls him, the Most High God. How great are His signs. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. But then in verse 4, he says, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous." Nebuchadnezzar has acknowledged and identified God, but he still holds Him at a distance. He said, "Yes, God, You are the Most High. You have kingdom. You have a kingdom. You are the Lord over that kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. But here for me, here in this temporal world," he still sees himself as the great king. If you'll turn over with me to chapter 5, which we'll get to next week. But Daniel is talking to the king that follows Nebuchadnezzar. In verse 20 of chapter 5, just briefly, this accounts for why Nebuchadnezzar was driven to the animals. Verse 20, it says, "But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory." You see, Nebuchadnezzar understood to some degree God. He understood Him as this mighty king. He understood Him as the Most High God. He understood Him having the ability to do miracles and great and wondrous signs. He had seen that. He had seen the Son of God in the furnace with the three He had thrown in. He could see and acknowledge that God could do those great and wonderful things. But he had not yet completely submitted himself to the authority and complete lordship of God. You see, he wanted to have his cake and eat it too. He wanted to have God at a distance. He wanted to have God being God. That's fine. But I rule this life. Nebuchadnezzar says, "I still have my palace." Look what he says in verse 29. Excuse me, verse 30. He said, "Is this not the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" Doesn't that sound contradicting? Here he opened the letter acknowledging God Most High, but yet here over in the letter he's saying, "Look at me." Folks, as I have said since we began the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar is a representation of mankind. Nebuchadnezzar is a representation of you and me. David talked about it this morning in Sunday school when he talked about stewardship. Stewardship is being in charge of and managing another person's property. You don't own it, you just manage it. Well, after we do that for such a while, and the manager stays gone for such a long time, then we begin to take ownership ourselves. And then we begin to say, "Look at my stuff. Look at my world. Look at my toys. Look at me and my job. Look what I have accomplished. Look what I have done." I would dare say each one of us in this room is guilty to one degree, one level or another, of doing the same thing Nebuchadnezzar is doing here. But God has an amazing grace. Nebuchadnezzar could probably be identified as one of the greatest idolaters that the Bible has listed, because he continuously and over built statues to himself and worshipped himself. But yet God didn't give up on him. God didn't turn him away. God kept Daniel in his face. And I believe that Nebuchadnezzar came to know the Lord. There are some who say he did not, but I believe the language says that he did. Listen to the difference in his language at the beginning of the letter. It says, "How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures forever. His dominion endures from generation to generation." He acknowledges God, but he's still a distant God. But then over in verse 34, "At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever." And he repeats it. His dominion is eternal dominion. But look at verse 35. "All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing." Now, that takes a conversion of a heart. In chapter 3, he identified himself in the reflection of a 90-foot gold statue. Hardly nothing. But here in the last chapter that we see anything of Nebuchadnezzar personally, he says, "All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing." He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" Nebuchadnezzar finally learned. But what was the message? What is the central message that God has been trying to get across to Nebuchadnezzar? What is the message he is trying to get across to us today? What is the message that we must understand as we now move into the final chapters of Daniel? When we get to the prophecies, when we get to talking about the different kingdoms and the different comings and goings of kingdoms, there is a central message. God through the Holy Spirit identifies the message three times in chapter 4. If you mark your Bible, this might be one of the things you mark. First of all, in verse 17 is the first time he mentioned it. The decision is announced by the messenger. The holy ones declare the verdict so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes, and sets over them the lowliest of men. Then go with me to verse 25. Verse 25 tells Nebuchadnezzar, "You will be driven away from people and will live like wild animals. Will you eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven? 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge the Most High is the sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes." This happened to Nebuchadnezzar. This is an actual story. This is an actual account. It's not a fable. Nebuchadnezzar was turned out into the pastures and ate with the animals. He went through a time of judgment. Folks, if we as individuals, if we as a church do not identify in our lives God as the Most High and that He is the ruler over all men's kingdoms, then we too can expect a time of judgment. It's as simple as that. Because the commandment says, "You will have no other God before me." And then once again in verse 32, he repeats it a third time. "You will be driven away from the people and will live with wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes." Thank the Lord, Nebuchadnezzar finally heard that message. Do we hear the message? Have we acknowledged the message? Do we live our lives as though we believe the message? that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men. He puts in place His administrators. Our president right now was put in place by God. The president we had previous was put in place by God for that season. The president of Venezuela, who you've seen in the news to be such a horrible, horrible man, you'd say, why could God put in place a man such as that? Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. I didn't know if I'd get to this or not, but we are. Here we go. There are good leaders all around the world. And there are bad leaders all around the world. Why? Romans 1 verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. No one can ever say, I do not know who God is. I may not understand Him, but He can be seen. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men. Verse 24, therefore God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurities, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. There comes a time in the history of people when God will turn away and allow their sin to be manifested in their leaders. It's a horrible thing. It's a horrible time. Nebuchadnezzar filled that role until an influence was put in place through the Holy Spirit to change him. Turn with me to one more place as we close. Philippians chapter 2. There's a prophecy here, and I believe prophecy to be fact. There's going to be a time when an event occurs in every person's life. Every person is going to do this at some point in time in their existence. Chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 9. It begins mid-sentence. It says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, talking of Christ, of course, and gave him the name that is above every name. God the Most High will be the ruler over all men's kingdoms. He will give him a name above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, that will happen. Every person at some point in time in their existence will identify and acknowledge, that Jesus Christ is Lord. But there's one qualification. Time. When will you do it? When will you do it? If you are fortunate enough to be called out by God and identify and know Him as Jesus Christ before, as Lord, before the time of your death, then heaven is yours. But as death finds you, so shall the judgment. And in judgment, those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord will see Him as Lord. But it will be too late. It will be too late. I pray that everyone in this room, and I don't know everyone in this room, but I pray everyone in this room has time on your side. that God has identified and called you to Himself, and that you have made or will make before your passing this profession. Nebuchadnezzar did. He was turned out to eat with the cows. He went through his time of judgment, but that time of judgment cleared his heart. The Holy Spirit used that time to clear his heart and bring him to Himself. What about you? What about you as you sit here today? What about you as you sit here today? Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord? Do you know Him as your Savior? Have you gone through that time of judgment? Have you gone through that hard time and you've seen the light and you've come to Christ and said, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." Or is there still that battle between the two kingdoms? The kingdom you have tried to build, the own personal life that you've tried to build. I myself, I can remember as clear as if I'd said it yesterday. I don't want to be converted because it's not any fun. I'll wait till I'm about 35 and old. Then I'll do it. Thank God He didn't listen to me. But there are people in this room are saying the same thing. Folks, I've never had so much fun as since the time I've become a Christian. It's a blast. So, that the Most High God, the King of all creation, knows my name personally, just as He knows yours. If you have made that profession, Nebuchadnezzar had to go through his time of judgment before, but I believe he was converted. Is there anyone here today that needs to make this profession?